Veterans Radio is brought to you by U.S. Wings, and today's program is dedicated to the members of the U.S. helicopter's attack light. Hail HAL 3 Seawolves.
From the studios of Ave Maria Radio in Ann Arbor, this is Veterans Radio. And now, here's your host, Dale Thronberry.
And good morning, America. How are you? My name is Dale Thronberry, former CW-2 helicopter pilot with the 195th Assault Helicopter Company, Republic of Vietnam, 1969. Welcome to Veterans Radio. I'm so excited to have you here today. We're going to be talking to a good friend of mine, Charlie Morris, who is a door gunner in the Navy. I didn't even know the Navy had helicopters, but this is what we're going to learn about today. And Charlie's going to be our guest coming up in just a minute. He's from Kent, Ohio. He's on the line. We're all set to go. It's going to be it's an amazing story about an incredible man. And when I sent out the flyer about today's program and I was going to be talking with Charlie, actually I got a number of emails from people that know Charlie and wanted me to make sure that I mentioned to people what a nice man this guy is. And I'll talk more about Charlie in just a minute, but I got a couple of announcements to come up with that are going on around this area in southeastern Michigan. Today, actually, up in Brighton, Michigan, the Vietnam Veterans Association, Chapter 110 up in Livingston County is having a free family picnic up there between Howell and Fowlerville. So if you're interested in attending that, you can give Ralph Sharp a call at 517-546-3546. That's 517-546-3546. Coming up tomorrow, Sunday, in Livingston County Airport, there's a helicopter-only fly-in. I'm going to go to this one. Helicopters-only fly-in, civilian, military, commercial, on public display from noon until 3, and that's at the Livingston County Airport. Helicopters only. So all you rotor heads out there, you can get up to Livingston County Airport and maybe get a little thrill that's going on there. Coming up in the next couple of weeks are a lot of different things in this area. First of all, at Comerica Park, home of the Detroit Tigers. I don't think they're in first place yet, but we're hoping. But anyway, it's a Veterans Night on July 19th. That's Veterans Night at Comerica Park. Go to their website, tigers.com, and you can pick up some tickets at a discounted rate. And so veterans, be there. The Veteran of the Year is going to throw out the first pitch, and every commander of all the various organizations is going to be introduced. They're going to be on the field. And during this ceremony, the Navy will conduct a presentation of the colors on the field, and it's also a part of Navy Week in Detroit. And Navy Week puts this on at about 30 different cities around the country. But the Navy is going to be in Detroit this week, and there are going to be representatives from the USS Constitution and the USS Michigan. Will be docked near Cobo Hall for viewing and possible boarding. Notice the word possible. During this same occasion, the Blue Angels are going to do a flyover. So that is the week of the July 18th through 22nd. And down at the on the riverfront in Detroit, Michigan, Navy Week. Be there. Speaking of the Blue Angels, they're going to be in Michigan again. That week, they're going to be a Thunder Over Michigan. And Thunder Over Michigan is coming your way on Saturday and Sunday, July 23rd and 24th at the Willow Run Airport in Ypsilanti, Michigan. Sponsored by the Yankee Air Museum, don't miss the Navy's precision flying team, the Blue Angels. There's going to be airplanes, and more airplanes. And that's at the Willow Run Airport, and you may be able to get a ride on a B-17, so make sure that you bring your penny and quarter collection for that. All types of different aircraft. They've got a great static display there with helicopters, B-52 bombers, antique aircraft, current-day aircraft. It's a great opportunity. Kids under 15 get in free. For more information, go to the YankeeAirMuseum.org or just Google in Thunder Over Michigan. Each week on Veterans Radio, we like to welcome home America's troops that are serving abroad anywhere in the world. And in the past, we've always tried to do individual units that are coming home, but thankfully they're coming home more and more as we are getting ourselves out of Iraq and Afghanistan. So we're just going to say welcome home to all of our troops, and on behalf of a grateful nation and Veterans Radio, welcome home.
You have honorably served the United States and the Marine Corps in times of peace and war. Now we would like to serve you. The Marine Scholars Program covers the total cost of attending Ave Maria University. By combining resources from the Ave Maria University Marine Scholars Funding, federal financial aid entitlements, and the GI Bill. The benefits are granted for the duration of the recipient's study at Ave Maria University, contingent upon good conduct and good academic standing. The Marine Scholars Program is open to all reserve and active component Marines and other combat veterans of Operation Enduring Freedom and Operation Iraqi Freedom who have honorably served our country. Please visit us online at www.avemaria.edu or call the Assistant Director of Admissions at 239-280-2552. You helped us. Now let us help you. Semper Fi.
Well, what is it good for? Sometimes you wonder about that. Our guest coming up here on Veterans Radio is Charlie Morris, and I just wanted to share an email that I received from a gentleman named Tom Phillips, who's been on Veterans Radio in the past, but it says, Dale, you're in for a treat. Charlie truly is an amazing guy and one of the nicest and most generous guys you'll ever want to meet, as is his wonderful wife, Fran. If she is lurking in the wings, you might ask her for a word. He worked for me until his terrible wound. I rushed to the 3rd Surgical Hospital to see him and found him with a tube coming from every possible orifice, and he was in a coma, not expected to live. The next day, his bed was empty, and no one would give me a straight answer about his, you know, what had happened to him. He'd been evacuated to Saigon, but I thought he had died, unfortunately, and was absolutely floored when I attended my first Seawolf Association reunion in 1996, and several of my gunners couldn't wait to escort me over to meet him. Their special surprise for me was Charlie Morris. Charlie Morris, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Well, thank you, Neil. Thanks. And it was really nice that Mr. Phillips said something like that.
He was hoping to call in this morning, but he's going to be out of town, unfortunately. But he said he's definitely going to be going and listening into the archives. We are talking with Charlie Morris, who was a door gunner in the Navy. And also, he's written a really nice book, and I don't like to use the word nice in most cases, but this is a nice book. It's a story that I think that many of us can relate to that are from that Vietnam era. It's called Just a Regular Guy, and Charlie, you certainly are, in a lot of cases, just a regular guy.
Well, thank you. That's what I was shooting for. Thanks.
I had the privilege of meeting Charlie at the U.S. Wing's Vietnam Veterans reunion down in Hudson, Ohio back in May, and Charlie gave me his book, and I, like many people, read it the first night, and because it just relates to so many of us with the issues that we had, not only in high school, but straight on through. Tell me a little bit about your story of being brought up in northeastern Ohio.
Well, I was raised in mostly in Cuyahoga Falls, and it was just a blue-collar town, mostly Caucasian. And I guess the thing of it is, I really loved the city and the people. And I strove to not go to college and things like that, just to be like my father, a machinist, and a really, really good machinist. He was a tool and die maker, and that's all I wanted to be, as something and a trade, and have a family, and live just like they do.
A lot of that, you know, that was the old American dream. We just wanted to follow our father into whatever, you know, maybe the jobs that they had, and unfortunately, that's gone away for many, many people.
Yes.
Your father was had been in World War II, is that correct?
Yes, he was on a LCI, Landing Craft Infantry, in the South Pacific in World War II, yes.
Okay. It's amazing how many of our fathers were in the South Pacific, too. My father was on an LST.
Oh, my gosh.
He was in the Coast Guard because he was going to guard the coast. He thought unfortunately, it was the wrong coast.
Right.
And like many of our fathers at that time, they didn't tell us what experiences they had gone through. And and we kind of just had to figure it out, I guess, on our own. Or sometimes they would leak information every once in a while.
Yes, if he had a couple beers, then
that's what it would take. If you'd like to get in on this conversation, we're talking with Charlie Morris, author of Just a Regular Guy, his story of growing up in Ohio, ending up in the Navy, and we'll save that part of the story for a little bit later. But give us a call here at 877-573-7825. That's a toll-free number, 877-573-7825. Charlie, while you were growing up, you had a little bit of some problems in high school.
Oh, yes, sir.
Put it that way. could you describe those just briefly?
What?
Not in good
way. I was really... Yeah, my father always used to say, he would tell me, he said, you know, why don't you just be happy to be a young boy and not try to grow up. At 14, I was hanging around with guys that were 18 and going out in cars and things. And he would say, you know, appreciate 14. I was 14 going on 20.
Right.
And I didn't want anybody to tell me what it was right and what was wrong. And I was a terrible student. I probably should have apologized to all my teachers.
Sometimes it's amazing when you go back to those schools or run into them somewhere and they go, wow, you made it.
Well, when I finally ended up going to Stowe High School to graduate, we moved a city over, and when I graduated, and then after the service, I went back to get my transcripts,
mm-hmm.
and an old history teacher was now the principal. And he says, Charlie, what are you doing? And I said, well, I'm getting my transcripts. I'm going to try to go to college. And he said, oh, what do you want to do? And I said, I want to be a high school teacher. And he just laughed and laughed and laughed. And he said, you know what, you old hell raiser? I hope you get everything back that you gave us.
It's one of those things, yeah, it's like our parents saying, you just wait till you'll have children. You know? You're due.
And it was really funny. And he was right, I did.
Well, yeah, it's kind of funny. I think some of those teachers that we thought were really tough and all those other things, they were probably the hellraisers in their own schools at their time.
Oh, I bet.
So you went to high school, but you had some dreams. You had mentioned in your book that you wanted to join the service.
Yes.
Why?
Oh, yes.
How come? This was in the mid-60s, so...
you know, now, don't worry about if I get emotional that this head injury guy do this. As long as I could remember, I had my dad's Navy hats on. I think I was 13 when I tried his dress blues on.
I did the same thing. It's okay, Charlie. Many of us did that. We admired our fathers.
Yeah, and all I wanted to be was a sailor. If I had to go to the service, I wanted to go to the Navy.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it was ingrained in us, you know, that mm-hmm. if we had to serve our country, and that's what I wanted to do.
Well, your entry into the Navy had a few detours, though, didn't it?
Oh, yes, sir.
Well, what happened the first time you tried to join the Navy?
Oh, my father took me up to the bus station, and the bus station was in a donut shop. So I had a couple cream sticks and a chocolate milk. And when I got up there and I took all my tests, and I was a little bit heavy, but they were going to allow that. And then they took and they gave me a test for sugar diabetes. And I tested high sugar.
I know guys who did that on purpose.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, and doggone it, I went, they told me to get a test, and I went and I got a test, and they said, you're not, you know, there's no diabetic tendencies, we can't find anything. So I went back up and told them the test, but I didn't go. My doctor, our family doctor was a DO then.
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't real too friendly on in the 60s, I guess.
Right, that's an osteopathic surgeon, right?
Yes, uh-huh.
Okay.
And they said, well, this is not the right test. And I said, you know what? I said, I'm not doing any more tests. And, you know, I like
right.
the
the heck with
bad
you.
Boy.
Yeah.
The bad boy came and said, you know, you guys draft me or something, but I'm not doing anything more for the Navy, and I wouldn't do it. And so
Well, eventually you eventually did get your draft notice.
Oh yeah, and that was the first time I was near. Now I'm near 300 pounds.
Let me point this picture. Charlie, right now, probably, what do you weigh, about 180, maybe?
About 200.
Okay. He's tall, but he's very thin right now. So you tried to, you know, you got your draft notice, you went down there, and they said that you were, what?
Oh, they said that you're too heavy, we're going to classify you 1Y. So in 1Y, every 6 months, I had to go back and get weighed. And in fact, the military quit sending me to Cleveland, giving me a bus ticket for Cleveland. They just sent me to a doctor in Akron.
Oh, okay.
And I remember the nurse, when I went over 300, the nurse said, oh, Uncle Sam doesn't want you, fat boy.
There's motivation right there, right?
Yes, sir. Yes. And I had we graduated in 65, and we were married in 66 because I didn't get drafted. And
this is your wife, Fran, who we are still
yes.
married to, correct?
Oh, yes. Yes.
That's right.
This year was 45. 40, yes.
Oh, I'm coming up on 43.
Oh, no, yeah, 45, yeah.
Good job. Good work. Now, Charlie, I'm going to interrupt you for just a second. I've got a guy on the line that wants to say something to you.
Oh, okay.
So hold on. Mike, you're on.
Hello?
Hi, Michael. You there?
I'm here.
Okay.
Good morning, Charlie.
Hey, Mike. What are you doing up so early?
Yeah, it is early here in California, but no, when I heard you're going to be on the radio, I just had to call and say hi to my brother. Little history between Charlie and myself. Charlie actually trained me to fly on the Sea Lords.
Okay.
And he is a great guy, and he's very, very meticulous. And by meticulous, I mean that he had the cleanest Sea Lord slick flying in the Delta. And I don't care how hard you worked, you can never keep your bird as clean as Charlie.
So you were a crew chief also?
Yes, I was a crew chief trained by Charlie. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to send you a picture of Charlie Morris and our first class's head of the line shack there, Brandon and myself. And I flew 5 months with the Sea Lords, the Slicks, and we carried mail, carried passengers, got in on some medevacs, seal insertions and extractions, and it was a good time. It was a great time before I went out to the gunships, but when I started flying the Sea Lords August 1st of 70 and flew them until December 31st of 70, and then I came home on a little deal put on here by Fresno. Some people here had sent some money to fly a couple of Fresno area Vietnam veterans home for Christmas, and we made it home in January of 71. And while I was home, Charlie got hit. And as Tom Phillips said earlier, there wasn't any news about that. And so, and I believe it was March of 1987, we had the first Seawolf reunion. And I was standing in the hospitality room and talking with another Seawolf and showing some pictures. And I said, yeah, and this is Charlie Morris. You know, he was he got shot and ended up KIA in Vietnam. And the guy goes, no, he didn't. And I said, yes, he did. And the guy goes, no, he didn't. And then this voice behind me. And every time I think about this, I just get goosebumps because all the voice says, who got killed? And you start running voice print through your memory bank.
Yeah.
And when I turned around, there stood Charlie. And I just dropped my photo book, and the tears started coming down my cheek. And from that point on, it seemed like the world was just fine.
Everything was okay again.
Yes, and then another quick little story. They'd flown, Charlie, one or two UH-1B helicopters up, and we're all standing outside looking at them. Excuse me. And all of a sudden, the Kansas dark clouds started rolling in. And these weren't little drops. These drops are about a glass full, and everybody started running back towards the hotel. And Charlie, he may have gotten hit, and he's got a little hitch in his giddy-up, but he outran me back to the hotel, and I can remember just laughing, trying to catch up with him. But Charlie's just one of those guys that he's gone through a lot and went through the traumatic brain injury, and I know has helped and talked so many times to other veterans and stuff to keep him on the up and up and let him know that with hard work and perseverance that you can achieve anything that you set your mind to.
Well, thank you very much, Mike, and I appreciate your calling in. And you guys, you know, make sure you contact after the show. I can do that.
I stay in contact with Charlie and Fran and stuff. And I might add that behind any good Seawolf is a great woman. A lot of us have really been blessed by having somebody in our life, and it means so much. But I'm going to go ahead and email you a picture of us over there in Vietnam. And Charlie, my brother, I love you, and hope to see you at the reunion in 2012, okay?
Roger. Yes, sir. Thanks, Michael.
Uh-huh.
Thanks,
take
Mike.
Care. Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We are talking with Charlie Morris of Seawolf fame, which we'll get to in a moment. Here on Veterans Radio, he's the author of a new book, and not a new book, but it's a great book called Just a Regular Guy. And we were talking about how Charlie was going to join the Navy, and they didn't want him because he ate too many donuts. The Army didn't want him because he still was eating too many donuts. And you decided that, hey, I got to get myself into shape here.
Yes.
And so let's get you into the Navy.
Okay, so I got down to all the way down to 240, and I knew that they could draft me at 240. So I went, and my friend that got married the same year, and our wives were best friends from the junior high school on, and we're still best friends. He was coming off of a deferment, and we decided to go up to the Army and enlist because they were doing guaranteed schools.
Oh, okay. So you had a guaranteed learning experience, hopefully.
Yes, yeah. So we took all the tests, and they said, oh, your test is great, and all this, and then when we went to sign the guarantees, his was the school he wanted, and mine school, I wanted to do aviation electronics, and it was some kind of avionics, and
right.
In a 6-week school, and I says, hey, isn't that door gunner school?
Right.
Yeah. And he goes, oh, well, it's just temporary. He says, as soon as there's a billet that opens up and Aviation Electronics, you can go there. And I says, you know what?
Here we go again.
You only get one guarantee. And mm-hmm. I understand that. And I says, I'm not doing it. So I took my test scores down to the Navy and talked to them. And the Army was 3 years, and Navy was 4 years. And so I went home and told Fran what happened. And I said, you know, for one more year I could be a sailor. And that's...
That's what you wanted to be.
Mm-hmm. And she said, okay, you know, one more year is not going to, you know, and I convinced her that even if I went to Vietnam, I'd be on a ship way, way far away, and and nothing could happen.
That's what I thought when I talked to the Navy. I'd like the idea of being 25 miles offshore.
Yeah.
I didn't know anything about the Brown Navy at the time.
That's
how smart we were.
Yeah, neither did I. And, well, I went into the Navy. I was so, so proud. And then it was funny. I almost, every morning at Colors, I could feel a tear in my eye. Just so proud.
Yep.
Of finally accomplishing something, you know.
You know, like that's what's so attractive about your book, Charlie, is that many of us went through life kind of fumbling our way through it, and you know, screwing up in high school a little bit, maybe going to college for a while, and you know, not making good choices there. But once we got into the military, it was something that we could be really proud of because we really accomplished something while we were there.
Oh, yes.
And, of course, that led to issues afterward, too, because we were never able to match that sense of accomplishment. Many people weren't able to do that.
Right.
We've got about 3 more minutes before we're going to take a break at the bottom of the hour. So you've joined the Navy, and you've got this plan of how you're going to get stationed at all these different places. So it sounded like you were trying to fill up all 4 years with different schools.
Oh, yes. Well, they offered me a bunch of schools, but it was always a little bit more enlistment time.
Oh, okay.
And I said, I'm sorry. I'm married, and I have a wife, and I'm doing 40 and getting out. But, I mean, oh, yeah, they offered me college, and they offered me OCS, and they offered me nuclear training. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, that's all right. and I turned it down thinking I was going to, for sure, with my test scores, I was going to get this school I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't happen.
That was the avionics electrician,
yes,
right?
Sir. Yeah. And attached to that was aviation ordnance.
Okay. And that's an interesting point. We're talking with Charlie Morris here, who's the author of a book called Just a Regular Guy. If you'd like to give us a call, you can do that here at Veterans Radio. That's 877-573-7825. When we come around on the other side of our Medal of Honor segment at the bottom of the hour, we're going to be talking with Charlie about what happened to him once he got to Vietnam. That's a pretty frightening story, and there's a lot of in-between, so you're going to have to read the book. I don't want to give the whole thing away as we're talking. But in about 30 seconds, you decided that you didn't want anything to do with guns.
Oh, yes. Right after all the training, and I was ready to go to Vietnam, and I went to California. I had another plan that they sent me to California. I'd volunteer for gunning, and they send me back to Georgia, and just to delay it a little bit so I can be home with my wife a little mm-hmm. more. And
I'm gonna hold you right there.
Oh, okay.
And we're gonna get to that when we come around the corner. So we're going to be back with Charlie Morris, author of Just a Regular Guy. You're listening to Veterans Radio. We'll be right back after these messages.
The Medal of Honor is the highest award for valor in combat given a member of the Armed Forces of the United States. There have been over 3,400 recipients of the nation's highest award. This is one of them. Marine Corps Sergeant Daniel Matthews became a one-man army before being killed. Details after this.
The Medal of Honor series is brought to you this week by American House Senior Living Communities of Michigan, America's finest senior living facilities in southeastern Michigan. Go to AmericanHouse.com for more information. That's AmericanHouse.com.
Participating in a counterattack against a firmly entrenched and well-concealed North Vietnamese force, Matthews fearlessly advanced in the attack until his squad was pinned down by a murderous sweep of fire from an enemy machine gun. Observing that the deadly fire prevented a corpsman from removing a wounded man in an open area, Matthews worked his way to the base of the hostile machine gun emplacement, leaped onto the rock formation surrounding the gun, and single-handedly charged the hostile emplacement with his rifle. Although severely wounded when the enemy brought a withering hail of fire to bear upon him, he continued his one-man assault, and firing his rifle with deadly effectiveness, succeeded in killing two of the enemy, routing a third, and completely silencing the enemy weapon, thereby enabling his comrades to evacuate the stricken Marine to a safe position. Matthews succumbed to his wounds before aid could reach him.
The Medal of Honor series is a production of Veterans Radio.
And we're back on Veterans Radio, and we're talking with Charlie Morris. And Charlie, I played that tune for you because I know you.
I thought he really read the book.
See, yeah, isn't that amazing? yeah, I did. And we just cleaned out the first part. That's all.
Okay.
We don't want to go there.
Okay.
Anyway, we're talking with Charlie Morris, who ended up being a Navy crew chief with the Sea Wolves in Four Corps in South Vietnam. And we were talking with him just earlier about what was going on in his head just before he was going over to Vietnam. And he decided that he really didn't want anything to do with guns. So could you kind of fill me in on that, Charlie?
I had lived in Stowe, and of course, Stowe guys go to the Kent a lot in the bars.
Right.
And we've always, and my grandmother lived in Kent, my cousin grew up in Kent, and then the Kent State shooting, and I didn't understand that. And I know that there's a lot more. Anyways, I just drew a blank and I said, you know what, I'm going to serve because I said I would. But I said I'm really not interested in going to gunner school. So I didn't have to go to gunner school. And I went right to the Sea Wolves from California.
Okay, I should put this all a time perspective. This is 1970, and Charlie served in Vietnam in 1971. And so I wanted to, you know...
70 to 71, yeah.
Right. I was already home and getting on my way out by this point in time.
Right.
When the Kent State incident, let's put it that way, occurred. And it was mind-boggling to everybody. We just couldn't understand that at all. So we've got you over now. You've gone to Vietnam. You've done the night, you know, the 24-hour flight. You slept through a lot of it. And now you get there. It's 195 degrees, 200% humidity, and you're going, uh-oh, now what am I going to do? So where did you go from there?
Oh, I don't know. Whatever any of the other services did, but the Navy had indoctrination in Saigon.
Oh, okay. Right.
Yeah, and they put us up at a thing called the Annapolis Hotel.
How appropriate.
and downtown Saigon, and it didn't look like any hotel I ever saw. And it just
It was mind-boggling. The heat, all of the people. I've never, you know, the little kid, young kid from Ohio, suburban Ohio, and all of a sudden you're in there with millions of people. It was just, in fact, I didn't eat for 3 days, anything but snacks.
Mm-hmm.
Because the chow hall was down the street.
It was a little frightening.
Yeah. Well, and one of the guys that was going to be a door gunner, his first night or first day to go down the chow hall, the guys would come around with on little motor scooters.
Mm-hmm.
One of them would slit your pocket with a razor blade, and the other one would lift your wallet out.
I lost some jewelry in Saigon. Didn't even know it.
Yeah, oh, yes.
You know, because all the little kids would all crowd around you, and you're trying to push them aside. And the next thing, my watch is gone. My ring is gone.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what happened.
You know, and that poor man, that was his first day in country. And they'd have people that from Vietnam that talk to you about officers telling you, hey, this is what their customs are, and it's odd to you, but it's completely normal to them, and respect them. And what was the cutest part is they said, we're going to give you a tour of Saigon, show you all the interesting sights, and I brought two cameras to take pictures of Saigon. It is on a tour bus. The tour bus was, when we got on, was an old gray, like, school bus with big fence all on the windows.
Right.
Didn't even see it.
Yeah,
the only thing that didn't have fence, yeah, the only thing that didn't have fence is the windshield. So the tour guide would say, hey, this is the cathedral and this and all this stuff. And I said, oh, are we going to get out so we can take pictures? Oh, no, you can't.
You don't get out. We're going to we got to get you down into four-core here, Charlie. We've got a couple of people on the line.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask them
to hold on.
We're going to get to you people on the phone after our next break, so hold on there. So Charlie gets down to the Sea Wolves, which is the Navy helicopter.
Navy's only attack squadron. It started in Vietnam in 67 and ended in Vietnam in 1972. They never flew it, or never came home.
Hmm. So what happened to you? I know you were a crew chief or ended up being a crew chief, and what you guys flew were basically the same missions that I flew as a slick. We called them ash and trash. And, you know, we'd take people places, pick up stuff, and...
Mm-hmm.
You know, and do some insertions and extractions, right, and medevacs and so on and so forth. So, tell me about the day that of your shooting.
Well, we had a mission. We went to a base, Rockshaw, the naval base, and picked up some sailors to show us a naval, groundwater Navy craft that had been mined, and it was blocking the canal, and the VC were really raising heck on the other side of the thing, and nobody could get to them. So it was the Navy's combined, that was the Vietnamese frogman,
mm-hmm,
one American advisor, and that was their first mission. So it wasn't bad enough that we had to go in. We had to go in and drop them off, but we had to take a whole load of officers.
Oh, okay, right, to observe this.
Yes, that was the first fight, and so we dropped it off, and we had new pilots, and And the new pilot said, Charlie, really, from our, when we went to a fire base, then after that, and then picked up everybody and dropped, you know, it would drop. And he said, it really isn't worth going up the 1,500 feet and then coming right back down. And I said, well, you know that only the only thing you do is either stay at 1,500 or on the deck and as fast as you can.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how we came back, and we went by a little village, and everybody was waving at us, and he really liked it, and he says, I'm going to do that the same way.
Uh-oh.
When we picked up the frogman team. So now we're flying the frogman back to that. We're on the deck, right at the canal. You know, we could almost water ski, but we didn't. And at the last, I'm looking at the, and in my mind, I'm looking at the village.
Right.
And one of the last hooches, we were just flying, and I, you know, you could hear the AK, mm-hmm. and it sounded, when you fly, it sounds like popcorn. That's all you can see. And I was so worried that the pilots would drift into the fire because you couldn't tell where the fire was coming from.
Right.
And I stuck my head out the door like I had a gun, but I didn't. And I could see the man firing at us right from the doorway of one of the hooches. And the village was supposed to be pacified. So anyway,
mm-hmm.
he's firing, and I came back in the door and pressed a button, but I couldn't speak. And then I thought, oh my God, I'm hit. And then that, for a few minutes, that was the last thing I remember.
Okay.
Other than what I, you know, what you can, what I did when I was unconscious.
I want to let me jump in and tell a little bit about what happened here. Charlie is on a tether. Many of the Dorgunner's crew chiefs had tethers so that if they were shot, they wouldn't fall out of the helicopter. And in this case, Charlie was shot in the head and started to fall out and was almost banging against the side of the helicopter. And in the book, he describes it fairly graphically, and I'm not going to go into great detail here, but you were shot behind your ear,
yes.
Right? And the bullet went through your head and basically came out the top.
Yes.
So now we've got you unconscious, and they medevac you to Long Bin, which is where Tom tried to come and see you. And
well, Tom saw me at third surge.
Mm-hmm.
And then they chased everybody out, and the doctor came in and looked at me. And third surge is right next to our base.
Okay.
They flew me to third surge. Well, they flew me to Lockjaw. They thought they had a doctor. They didn't, but they had a corpsman, and he got on. And then they flew me to third surge. And then I was awake in third surge, and I remember they cut off all my flight suit, and I was really ticked. And then a doctor came in and looked at my head and said, oh, geez, I can't do anything with this guy. Well, you're going to have to try to get him to Saigon or Long Bin.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, oh, try. This is not good. Try to get him.
This is not good. Hold up there, Charlie. We're going to continue this so we can gather your thoughts, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. We're going to be taking another break. We'll be back in just a moment with Charlie Morris. You're listening to Veterans Radio.
Veterans, need help with your VA benefit claim? Then call Legal Help for Veterans right now at 800-693-4800. To ensure the best possible chance for success, our attorneys at Legal Help for Veterans are devoted to VA claim appeals, and they will forcefully present your particular case. So make that call today to Legal Help for Veterans at 800-693-4800 for your no-charge consultation.
You have honorably served the United States and the Marine Corps in times of peace and war. Now we would like to serve you. The Marine Scholars Program covers the total cost of attending Ave Maria University. By combining resources from the Ave Maria University Marine Scholars Funding, federal financial aid entitlements, and the GI Bill. The benefits are granted for the duration of the recipient's study at Ave Maria University, contingent upon good conduct and good academic standing. The Marine Scholars Program is open to all reserve and active component Marines and other combat veterans of Operation Enduring Freedom and Operation Iraqi Freedom who have honorably served our country. Please visit us online at www.avemaria.edu or call the Assistant Director of Admissions at 239-280-2552. You helped us. Now let us help you. Semper Fi.
He blesses the boys as they stand in line. The smell of gun grease and their bayonets, they shine. He's there to help them all that he can. To make them feel wanted, he's a good holy man.
And we're back on Veterans Radio with another aviation song. There. I didn't know if the Navy used that one or not, so I just figured every pilot, everybody involved with aviation likes to do Sky
Pilot. Oh, yeah.
Pilot.
Yeah. And in fact, just the other day, I talked to one of our pilots for an hour. He's from Kentucky. And it's so nice that the Seawolves, we have, and anybody that ever wants to know about Seawolves and what it was and what we did, you can go to seawolf.org.
That's true. That's where I got most of my info.
Oh, okay.
I just didn't know exactly everything I was looking at. I didn't know what DT-4s and 5s and so forth, that type of thing. But anyway, so we've got Charlie. We're talking with Charlie Morris, as I mentioned, who was shot in Vietnam in the head, was paralyzed on the right side, correct?
Yes.
And also...
Couldn't speak,
and you went to Long Bin, and then you kind of went through the whole thing. What was going through your mind that you can remember, Charlie, at the time?
I wasn't prepared for this.
Right.
There was only... I thought either you came home or you didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Or you came home alive or it did.
Right.
I didn't prepare for a disability. And it never, ever, ever crossed my mind. I figured I'd fly till I die. You know,
mm-hmm.
that's it. And it was really an eye-opener. But in turn, I could feel that every day that I opened my eyes, that I was blessed. And I remember in Long Bend, they'd say, why is he smiling? I couldn't tell. But I was smiling because at least I was alive, you know?
Correct.
And I didn't have any doubt that I would come back.
Mm-hmm.
And we were so blessed. Right there in 1971, in Long Bend, they had a brain surgeon that was unheard of. They would patch brain injuries and send them to Japan.
Mm-hmm.
So they either were more severe or they didn't make it. And this young man operated on me right in Vietnam.
And he did everything he could, and evidently, obviously, he saved your life, but unfortunately,
oh, yes,
he had to take a little piece of your brain with him, didn't he?
Yes.
You had so many, Charlie had so many fragments of shrapnel in his brain that they weren't able to pick each piece out, so they kind of just cut a little piece out.
Yes.
You had some, obviously, you came home and you survived, but you had some other issues once you got back to the States. Charlie, let's talk a little bit about those, but I want to just ask you right now in front of the world to come back on sometime in the next couple of weeks to talk a little bit more about your recovery, because we're going to run out of time.
Yeah,
I know that
I'm
already.
Sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. I do go on.
No, that's not. No, no, it's not you. We're not breaking up here. It's not you. It's me. No, it's just that the story to me is so fascinating, and our listeners, you need to know all the details. I think that they're so important to get to where Charlie is today. So you come home, and you're attempting to recover. Tell me a little bit about your rehabilitation.
Well, I went to the VA three days a week, at like 50 minutes away, and they were really. My leg came back. Oh, because of the Navy Hospital in Great Lakes. Mm-hmm. I had, if anybody knows Rich White, the former physical therapist in the second class at the Great Lakes Naval Hospital, please tell him I love him. But he would work out with me. I was scheduled in the Navy 3 days a week. Mm-hmm. I was there six. And they didn't mind at all. And anything they could do, sometimes they just tied me up and watch me try to struggle to get out.
Mm-hmm.
It just because they were busy with the other patients. But so I was okay, but my arm never came back.
Mm-hmm.
And I was disappointed with the VA back in 71, and I left that only, but I got to tell you, there was a reading therapist, when she asked me, what are you going to do, and I said, I'm going to go to college. She said, no, you're not. She said, look at your test scores. There, you only have a seventh grade reading ability.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, but you want to go out, you want to get out of here. And she said, what do you want me to do? And I said, fix me.
Mm-hmm. Fix me.
And we're working with her from June till September. The last test was over 13-plus reading ability.
Wow. And so you did go back to college.
Yes, sir.
This is
1972.
And you are a Kent State Flash, right?
Yes, yes.
Congratulations on that. But then you took up another, to me, another war room. You went into the classroom, didn't you?
High school teaching, yes.
Teaching. What did you teach, Charlie?
It was called distributed education. I had a business minor and a marketing major.
We're going to continue this story the next time that Charlie is on, because you got to not only about this, but his rehab and what he's doing today to help other victims of traumatic brain injury and post-traumatic stress disorder.
Yeah, the post-traumatic stress was probably the hardest thing.
Yeah, and there are many examples of what you went through in the book. Again, I want to bring some of your friends on at this time, because we've got about three minutes left. But it's Just a Regular Guy. You can get it at Amazon.com. His name is Charlie Morris. Not Charlie Morris, the musician. Charlie Morris, to me, he's one of my heroes. So I want you to do that. Coming up on the line right now, I hope I get their names correctly, I've got Terry Mize.
Yes.
Terry?
Yes.
How are you? Welcome to Veterans Radio.
Good morning.
I understand you know Charlie.
Charlie and I met in training to go to Vietnam to be members of the SEALs.
And what did you do there?
I was a crew chief and door gunner on the gunships.
Okay. I'm going to bring on another guy. You guys can have a little talk fest here for for a minute or so. And this is John Smith. John, you there?
Hi, Charlie.
Hey, John.
How you doing, buddy?
Okay.
Good. Well, I'm glad to hear you on the radio, my friend.
Oh, well, thanks. I'm.
Yeah.
I'm not listening.
Charlie's
to
my
me, but
my brother from another mother. I'm. Matter of fact, Charlie, I'm sitting here looking at that fifth grade class picture I sent you the other day.
Oh my gosh.
We need to get those pictures for the next program, Charlie.
Oh, okay.
We want to embarrass you as much as possible.
Oh, thanks.
Well, he was stocky, and I was about as thick as a 2x4, and now it's just the opposite.
So, John, you're calling from Ohio, John?
Yes.
Were you also a sea wolf?
No, I am in the Coast Guard. Was in the Coast Guard and still am.
Oh, okay. And
yeah,
Terry,
I'm in the auxiliary now.
Okay. Terry, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Lula, Georgia.
Lula, Georgia.
Lula.
Holy mackerel. This is great. You know, ain't technology grand?
Yeah.
That we can do this. We will have this program up on the web probably by tonight, I'm guessing. So for those of you out there who missed the beginning of it, you can go to Veterans Radio and click on the archives, and you'll be able to listen to the program, or you'll be able to watch it. The webcast, and Charlie did not have a camera in front of him, so we were just throwing pictures up that I found on the Seawolf website. So I appreciate all of you giving Charlie a call. And Charlie, it's just a reminder to me of how well liked you are by people, and it goes back to what Tom Phillips said also, is that, and I told people after I met you down in Hudson, Ohio, that I thought this was one of the nicest men I've ever met.
Oh, thank you.
I'm sorry. Now I'm getting all misty-eyed. But anyway, John, I want to thank you so very much for calling in and talking with Charlie.
And Terry, thank you.
No problem. I enjoy it. God bless you, Charlie.
Thank you, John. Thanks, John. And thanks, Terry.
Thanks, Charlie. Teflon, we love her and we love you, and hope to see you at the reunion in Seattle next year.
Yeah, I'm trying to make plans.
Okay.
Already.
On that note, we've got to get out of here ourselves. Thank you, Charlie Morris, so very much. You've been listening to Veterans Radio. Until next week, you are dismissed.
Thank you.
All views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily of Veterans Radio or this station. Veterans Radio is a production of Veterans Radio Network.
Veterans, need help with your VA benefit claim? Then call Legal Help for Veterans right now at 800-693-4800. To ensure the best possible chance for success, our attorneys at Legal Help for Veterans are devoted to VA claim appeals, and they will forcefully present your particular case. So make that call today to Legal Help for Veterans at 800-693-4800 for your no-charge consultation.